Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Deliver.
And so I just, like I said, want you to get out your pens and your pads and your digital devices, and we're going to go on into a live program. And I just pray for you that has lost loved ones on tonight, asking God to strengthen you and restore the gladness that has been replaced through sadness of a loss of a loved one. And may God just bless your heart on tonight. And we're standing with you. We're standing with you, hallelujah, in your hour of bereavement. So just know that you're not alone, but God has us as his allies all around the world, united together in the Christian faith. All right, we're going to go now on into our scheduled program already in progression as we speak. And our tonight's sermon, excuse me just a minute, please. Thank you so kindly. And our sermon on tonight entitled, Courage in the Crisis. Then we have in hyphen is sprinkle in healing and prayer. So that sermon on tonight is Courage in the Crisis. And we'll sprinkle in healing and prayer. And our first key scripture is coming out of the law of Judges 7:2. God told Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. And so now we're going to go on down to our second key scripture on tonight. Coming out of the law of 2 Kings 20:3. O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Kings 20:3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we are told that there was a young man who stood on the edge of his driveway looking back at the house where he had lived for the past 18 years. Well, today marks the first day of a new chapter in his life. He is going to college. He no longer can be rest in the comfort of a familiar home, a community, family, or church. No longer can he hide in the comfort routine. Today we'll open up a new relationship, new challenges, new routines. The parents wonder, how will he make it? Will he have the needed financial resources? Will he be disciplined enough to study without the prompting of his parents? Today he will leave the comfort of his parents, faith to rely solely on his faith in God. Will he remain true to God in a new community, with new friends and traditions that might be hostile to God? We find out as Joshua faced the challenge of leading the children of Israel from the desert to the promised land. God reassured Joshua that he would not be alone. Yes, he would face many challenges, but he would be strong in the Lord. Keep God's commandment faithfully and walk forward with the confidence that God will bring him through. He will be victorious in his endeavors. Be strong and of good courage, says the Lord. Don't let the possibilities fail you and paralyze you from trying. Go forward, trusting in me, relying on me, keeping your eyes on me, and I will deliver you. We too can take heart and be courageous. As we face new challenges, if our faith and our trust and our focus and confidence are in God, we will find the Holy Spirit of God with us to guide us in all circumstances, hallelujah, and situations. Thank you, Jesus. And now we know that in the story of Gideon, teaches us only one thing, and it teaches us that when you add God to the equation, you find out that the normal rules of victory do not apply. When the Lord triumphant sound, all of our rules are irrelevant. The first rule suspended by the sound of the trumpet is that there is strength in numbers. In God's battle plan, numbers are negligible. God told Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands." We read that scripture reading on our key scripture for tonight, and that came out of the law of Judges 7:2. We find out that in God's plan, strength does not lie in numbers, but in the character of those who struggle. When four college students sat at a Greenboro lunch counter, they launched a nationwide movement. When a mid-mannered Montgomery seamstress with tired feet refused to give up her seat on a segregated bus, she started a revolution. When God is on the side of a faithful few, we don't have to fear sending the faint-hearted majority home from the battle. The second rule crumbled by the trumpet's blast. If it's to be, it's up to me. God had Gideon to send people home, lest Israel buck themselves against me, saying, "My own hand has saved me." That's in verse 2. We know that the moment we attribute the victory to our strength or our brilliant strategy, the normal rule will apply once again, and we will face battles that we cannot win. Remember that the victory ultimately belongs to God, not us. The third rule is shouted by the trumpet of God. Is what you see is what you get. God told Gideon, "I will save you and deliver you, the Midianites, into thy hands." Verse 7. But we must first realize, hallelujah, that the people God uses to win the victory are not always the most cultured or the best educated. Like Gideon, men, they may lack like a dog, but have hearts like lions. We may see a commoner, but get a conqueror. We may see defeat, but get deliverance. And our prayer would be, "Dear Lord, though we may be few, let the trumpet sound our victory through a God who changed the rules." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we know the story that Nathan, a man that was a leper, he needed healing from his dreaded disease of leprosy. It confuses us like him. We find the simplicity of the cure to be strange and inexplicable to modern medicine. Thinking Naaman took a great tribute to the king, hoping that money would be sufficient to buy a secret cure. But even the king did not know what to do with the unrealistic expectation. Instead, the prophet Elijah effected the cure with a treatment that made no sense. Elijah knew, however, that the most important thing Naaman needed was the healing of his relationship with God. So he prescribed a miraculous treatment to bring Naaman to a new understanding of God. And this new relationship was much more important than in the physical cure. The cure changed Naaman in body and in soul. We know that in spite of modern medicine, great advances, God is the true source of our healing, and the source of true healing, namely, the healing of our souls. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, God. And we know that you might have a loved one, a friend, a colleague, business partner, any constituents that's in your circle, your family circle, that may be in bad health or ill health. Well, we know that this type of healing that we desire, that we need, it comes into a relationship with God. We will be able to face whatever may come our way. We know that our Heavenly Father, we can call on you in the midst, hallelujah, of our hurts and our pain. And we're asking you, God, to help us always to remember that you are the great physician who heal us in body and soul. And may we rely on you for our strength and our salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We know that through the centuries, some of our God's service has faced the possibility of an agonizing death unless they renounced their faith. They knew that God could deliver them, but they also knew that in keeping with his own purpose, might not answer their plea for supernatural help. In the book of Daniel, we find out there are three young Hebrew captives faced a life and death choice. Worship the king's gold image or be thrown into a fiery furnace. Their response, hallelujah, was unhesitating. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, they asked. But if not, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That scripture reading, coming out of the law of Daniel 3:17-18. But if not, those words challenge our allegiance. Just suppose we face crippling diseases. Suppose we are facing shameful disgrace. Suppose we are facing painful loss. We plead for God's intervention. Yet, in every threatening circumstance, our plea should carry the proviso. But if God is our attitude, that of Jesus in the Gethsemane, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 26:39. Are we willing to endure whatever will glorify God and work out his holy purpose? We know that when conviction runs deep, courage rises to the surface to sustain you and I. And we know we can go into the law of 2 Kings. And we read the story in the 19th. And it becomes apparent. It put us increasingly aware of the significance of prayer to our emotions, spiritually and physically well-being. Just as Hezekiah became distraught when he heard the many threats of the king of Assyria, we too often make our decision based on the words of those who seem to have power over you and I. Rather than placing our confidence and trust in our God, who we know is able and has proven to be faithful time and time again, far too frequently we give up hope. We fall into despair because a newscast is omnibus. The doctor has given a negative prognosis. Alani expressed Pastor Ava of a legal situation. But instead, you and I, we should seek guidance and prayer support from someone like Hezekiah. Then we need to go to God for ourselves, laying our concerns and our fears and our doubts and our issues before Him. When we go to God in honesty and faith, God hears and answers our prayers. In fact, the act of prayer itself is a healing experience. For our minds and for our bodies, for our spirits, when we pray to God without pretense and with sincerity of heart, God began to do a work in us that is beyond our human understanding. Yes, God does respond to the prayers of God's chosen people. Whether they are the prayers of someone powerful like Hezekiah or the prayers of a young child, God will speak to us in ways that we can hear and understand if we are willing and open to listen for His voice. We know that every aspect of our existence is redeemed and enhanced by a healthy prayer life. Why not spend some time with God in prayer on today? In ending, I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that I've said something to inject your spirit and impact your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janet Ward, P.O. Box 1600. Gilroy, California, 95020. Till you come across these skyways and highways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. I want you to be blessed. Be encouraged. Say to God, friends, and you alike, God love you, and so do I. We're going to now change, hallelujah, the program. And we're going to bring you the dynamics of the program. And we're going to bring unto you hymns of Zion to impact your mind and encourage your spirit on tonight. Again, you be blessed. Go in God and allow God to go in you. Be encouraged in the crisis. Don't forget to sprinkle in healing and prayer. God bless you till we meet again. Bye for now.
Thank you. What?